Good morning. Will you turn to Ecclesiastes, please? This is our second sermon on Ecclesiastes. Next Sunday will be the third and last. This one is called Our Pleasant God-Given Duty. Our Pleasant God-Given Duty. I'm covering chapters 2 to 9 here. Ecclesiastes teaches that most of what people do makes no sense. It makes sense to the people who are doing it, but only because they're not really thinking. To Ecclesiastes, it makes no sense. People pour their lives into things as if there was a certain guarantee or promise, but there is no guarantee or promise, so they're wasting their time. Here are some examples of promises that people think are true, but they are not. If I could only have more pleasure, more fun, more things that make me feel good, then I'd be happy. That makes sense, doesn't it? Sure, but it's not true. If I work hard enough, I'll get richer. If I work hard enough, I'll have enough to slow down and enjoy life. If I work hard enough, I'll be able to save my children from having to work so hard. If I have enough money, life will be good. Any one of those might sometimes be true, but as a reason to work hard, says the teacher, they are empty promises. Many people who work hard get none of these things. Many. If I'm wise enough, I can make sure nothing really bad happens to me. If I'm wise enough, I'll be respected. If I'm wise enough, my life will not be like the lives of fools. These make sense, don't they? Sure, but they are often not true. And if they are true, it's usually only for a short time. And then the bottom falls out. These promises are not true because life itself is hebel, a mist, a vapor. People work for these things, but life ends before people get what they worked for. And what we work for is itself hebel, a mist. We never quite get our hands on it. We always need just a bit more of whatever promise we believe, and then life will be good. These things bring the teacher pain. They are grievous. These things should be promises. They should be guarantees, but they are not. The teacher despairs over what he sees. So this book is in the Bible to warn us about what is not worth doing. What is worth doing? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 2. I wanted to see what was good, what was worthwhile for people to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. So, let's see what kind of things do not keep their promise, what kind of things are hebel, just missed. They're meaningless, they're useless, depending on your translation. Pleasure is hebel, useless. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 2, 1 to 11. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine, embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. He was doing a serious experiment. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees. I made reservoirs to water groves of trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all of this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, Everything was meaningless, chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Wow. He tried wine as an experiment, not just for relief or pleasure, but to see if lots of wine made life worthwhile. It did not. He's fine with us enjoying our wine. In chapter 9, he says, "Go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. God has already approved what you do." It's one of the many joys of ordinary life, but it cannot be what makes life good. He had wine and women and song. He had wealth, and all the building projects in chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, are places that would bring pleasure just by being there. Listen, he built his own luxury hotels, people. He built his own luxury hotels, many of them incredible places. He got everything his eyes desired and his heart wanted, and the verdict is in the beginning at the end. It was all Hebel, mist, vapor. It amounted to nothing. It left him empty. But don't miss the second half of verse 10. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. The houses, the parks, the gardens, the pools, and the pleasures brought him no joy once they were done. But he really did enjoy building all this stuff, and that was his reward. Wisdom is Hebel. So that was pleasure. Wisdom is Hebel, meaningless. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 14. The wise person dies the same as the fool, and the wise person is remembered no longer than the fool. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10, give another reason that pursuing wisdom is an empty promise. God has put eternity in the hearts of men. People know there is a big picture. There's more going on than what we can see under the sun, but people can't figure it out. We know there's an answer, but we can't find the answer. So, since God made everything beautiful in its time, enjoy the beauty and do what is right. Chapter 3, verse 12 said, "There is nothing better, nothing more good for people than to be happy and do good while they lived. This is the gift of God." Chapter 9, verse 13, this is still on wisdom. "I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it. A powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a poor man but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, 'Wisdom is better than strength,' but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded." Heeded. It's a sad little story, and it's another reason why wisdom is overrated. It is useful and powerful, but be careful what you assume it will bring you. It did not bring this man very much. Work is Hebel, meaningless. Ecclesiastes 2, starting in verse 17. I read this text in last week's sermon. In those verses, the word meaningless occurs four times. In Ecclesiastes, work is painful, and it is also the most regular source of joy, as we saw at the end of chapter 2. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? So the satisfaction and enjoyment of work are a direct gift from God. In Ecclesiastes, the best is to do what is right and to taste the enjoyment of life and work as it comes. Because this enjoyment and satisfaction come from God, it is the pleasant duty of people to enjoy these things. It is our pleasant, God-given duty. Achievement is Hebel, meaningless. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4. All toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Everything comes from envy, he says. I think this is not true of me, but I wonder. If everyone around me had a smaller, dumpier house than I do, I'd more likely to be content with mine. If everyone around me had a vehicle that was older and in worse shape, I'd more likely be content. Fill in the blanks. Clothes, tools, toys of any kind, holidays of any kind for children and adults both. Here's another example. Suppose you work at something you do well, and you find enjoyment in it, and then someone comes along who is good at the same thing you are good at. In fact, they're better than you at the thing you're good at. Your job is not threatened. You can keep doing what you do, but people around can see that this other person is actually better than you at the very thing you saw as yours. This takes some of the joy out of our lives. We don't handle that very well. That's envy. So chapter 4, verse 5 says, don't be lazy. It'll be the end of you. 4:6 says, don't work too hard either. Slow down. Relax. It's better. Promotion is hevel. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. These verses tell another story. Everyone was so happy when a foolish old king was finally off the throne and the poor but wise youth was king instead. Everyone followed him. So did the poor wise youth have it made? No. Once people forgot what the foolish old king had been like, they did not want the new king either. They wanted someone else to be king. Promotions are meaningless, a mist, a vapor. My dad was a shop teacher for many years. Most of those, he was the department chair of the industrial arts, as the shop program was called in those days. Few times he was offered the position of vice principal of our high school. And he would tell us about the offer at supper. We thought he should take it. It was obviously a promotion and his pay would increase. But he would say, I'm not taking it. Here in the shops, I do what I like and what I want. In that office, others will tell me what to do, and I don't want that job. I'm staying where I am. After a few offers, they did not bother to offer it to him anymore. I like that story, and I have made similar decisions myself. Not every promotion is bad. I don't mean that at all. That is not the point. The point is it's not good just because it's a promotion. That in itself does not make it good. Don't count on what promotion will bring you, says Ecclesiastes. Wealth is hebel, meaningless. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10. I'm going to read 10 verses. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners, except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through misfortune, so that when they have children, there's nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This is a grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness with frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good, he carries on directly. It's appropriate, it's good for a person to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. This is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. If the goal is to have just a little more money, we will never have enough. The more we own, the more people there are that live off our money. The joy of the owner is to watch it happen. The repeated advice of the book of Ecclesiastes is to find satisfaction in eating and drinking and working. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 19. When God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. There are two separate gifts from God here. One, God gives someone wealth and possessions. Two, God gives them the ability to enjoy them and be content. That's a second gift. God gives some the first, but not the second. Ecclesiastes respects money. Wealth solves many problems. Having enough money helps life in different ways, but it's no use without the ability to enjoy it. So chapter 5, verse 10 is about the person who loves money and loves wealth, the person who arranges their life to have more money and more wealth. People who arrange their lives to have more are pursuing some kind of satisfaction, some kind of enjoyment, and they will never get it. They simply will never get that satisfaction. That promise is a lie. If a person has enough money and wealth and the ability to enjoy it, two separate gifts, the pleasant duty of that person before God is to enjoy it and be happy in their work. Here's why the promises we live by are false. I'm going to read chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Why the promises we live by are false. This is kind of a conclusion. I have seen something else under the sun, says the teacher. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. See, too many big things are beyond our control. Our plan makes sense, but too often something else happens and wrecks our plan. Bad things happen, and they come unexpectedly, and this certainly includes death. So, the bottom line, our joyful task, starting in chapter 9, verse 7, our joyful task. Go, eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because we don't know anything about tomorrow. So, don't ignore a chance for enjoyment or satisfaction on the basis of a promise that is false. Enjoy the common pleasures as they come. This is our pleasant duty, our joyful task from God. Amen. Let's pray. God, we are not used to hearing things like this. You have shown us the way forward. You're still giving these ordinary chances for satisfaction and enjoyment. You have richly provided us with many things to enjoy. God, show us our pleasant duty, our joyful task. Lead us. Thank you for the clarity of this book. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.